Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
How's it going? It's Anthony Cosenza with CincyJungle.com and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I hope you are all doing well. I hope, despite the result, yet with the effort, you all enjoyed the Bengals game, the final game of the season. They fell to the Steelers 16-13. Pretty ugly game for both teams, but you gotta love the heart that the Bengals showed. You have to love the scrappiness. Down so many players at so many positions, and obviously out of the playoff mix, they really could have folded it in. I think, if you ended up betting for the Bengals to cover the point spread in this game, you probably are a pretty happy guy. So I think that, from that perspective, if you're a bettor, that you're pretty happy about that. The Bengals also had a number of issues pop up. And, I think this game, aside from, a nice moral victory here and there, I guess if you want to take that away, there are some other things you can take away from this team that they are quite a few players away from once again being competitive. You saw two rookie first-round quarterbacks battle it out in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, and you saw both of those guys will their teams to one guy willed them to win and another guy almost willed them to win. So you can see the effect that a quarterback plays on a team. And you look at the Bengals, I think this season would have definitely been different with Andy Dalton down the stretch. They may have been, one of those teams in the mix, especially with, 9-10 wins, basically winning the AFC North. But even with Andy Dalton healthy, AJ Green healthy, this team was on a major slide. And there are some major, major holes that need to be addressed this offseason. Sean McBray says no turnovers. Yeah, no turnovers, but whether you want Andy Dalton replaced, if you're in that camp, or whether you want whatever you want at the quarterback position, this team needs a quarterback next year. Jeff Driskel's not, he's borderline NFL backup at best. Andy Dalton, good guy, great guy, good quarterback. And I think, I think that this game proved that once Andy Dalton went down and they didn't have a guy that could come in that was really anywhere close to Dalton's skill set, with the roster being as down as it is from an injury perspective, I think that this showed that the team needs at least one new quarterback next year. Kyle Gentry says Mixon didn't get enough carries. Yeah, he had 13 carries on the day and had 105 yards. So that tells you... That tells you a lot. The Bengals' time of possession was pretty lousy, though. Part of that was, as weird as it sounds, part of that was due in the first half to the pick six that they had by Sean Williams. That basically, gives the Steelers back-to-back possessions and time with the football. So, that kind of takes some time of possession away and ability to move the ball. But, I don't. I've seen all this, seen some funny comments. You guys are awesome. Yeah, but Mixon didn't get enough carries. And that's, I did some research on this. Mixon, I think it was week 6 through 13, had right around the 12 to 13 carry mark, and the team only won, they were 1-6 in that stretch. So all of a sudden, he starts getting more carries. The team is competitive. They almost beat the Chargers. They beat the Raiders when he's got 20-plus carries. Today, he's got 13 carries, and they have a great shot at the game. Now, most of Mixon's yardage came on basically two runs, but I think that the point still stands that he is one of their best offensive players, one of their best players they have. And if they're not giving him the ball, then they don't really have a shot. And I never understood this. Yes, you got to have balance. And yes, you don't want to be so predictable when you have a backup quarterback. But you do have a backup quarterback. You have a beleaguered and injured wide receiver group. Why would you not want to give Joe Mixon the ball a bunch of times? I don't really understand that. And that's something that Bill Lazor is going to have to answer. That's something that Marvin Lewis is going to have to answer. And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm seeing a lot, David Boyd, Marvin, go bye-bye. Jason Lewis, Marvin needs to go. That will probably be determined by, I would assume, Tuesday or Wednesday, what's going to happen with this team. And there could be some very interesting and unexpected names out on the market. Now, I think, there's probably going to be your Todd Bowles, your Vance Josephs, those guys that you could bring in as possible coordinators. The Bengals have, theoretically, a vacancy at defensive coordinator, even though Marvin Lewis kind of took over those duties. They're going to need a new defensive coordinator, so that at least will probably be coming up. There's rumors of Vance Joseph taking that spot. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. Todd Bowles could be an interesting fit there as well. If he gets let go, and if the Bengals want to pursue that route, who knows what's going to happen with the Vikings? I believe they lost a little bit ago to the Bears, and Mike Zimmer was supposedly on the hot seat then. Who knows what's going to happen with Mike Tomlin? The Steelers, they got their 9.5 wins this year, but they are out of the playoffs. And, there are a contingent of people, a contingent of Steelers fans and, that sort of thing, that are not happy with Mike Tomlin. Whether you agree with that or not, personally speaking, I would, if I'm the Bengals and Mike Tomlin is let go, that's one of the first calls I make. But who knows what's going to happen there. The Steelers don't really like to fire coaches. They've had basically three coaches in the last 50 years. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see what happens there. I'm seeing a lot of stuff also about injuries, talking about Driscoll. Yes, Driscoll probably could have fared better if AJ Green was out there, if Tyler Boyd was out there, if Tyler Eifert was out there. There are a lot of players that were missing. Even Cordy Glenn once again left the game with an injury, and the offense kind of deflated at that point. I don't know. I think that I think that Driscoll probably still could have carried the team relatively well, I guess, with some of those guys in the lineup. But I don't see the talent, and even some of his better performances statistically. You look at last week, he had the two touchdown passes, all that stuff. That was in garbage time, and some fluke plays at the end that got the Bengals in scoring position. Game was still out of hand at that point. There are way too many dry spells, and this happened with Bill Lazor at the helm too. Way too many dry spells by this team on offense. Just a lot of three and outs, a lot of not moving the ball, and I think it starts at the top and trickles down from there. This is an interesting one from Melissa Collins Eglian. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name there, Melissa, but John Ross couldn't catch a cold. John Ross had a real rough day today. One catch for 1 yard. He had a drop pass late in the game. He slipped on a route that was a critical. Very, very up and down year, mostly down for Ross. Couple of games early in the season, you kind of said, hey, there it is. 21 catches and 7 touchdown receptions this year. So once every 3 catches that John Ross gets is a touchdown. And it almost seems as if basically the 2 other catches that are not touchdowns are bubble screens that go nowhere. And then obviously there's the one touchdown catch. And even his touchdown catches have been for minimal yardage. So that in itself is kind of an interesting situation there. We'll have to see what happens with him going forward. I definitely do not think that the Bengals are giving up on him in 2019. I think they're going to give him at least one more year. If there's any, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, you look at some players around the league. There's a player in Philadelphia, Nelson Agholor, who, you know, first 2 years mightily struggled with drops, with all kinds of stuff, and then all of a sudden year three and year four, he's a very valued guy, helped them win a Super Bowl last year. So sometimes it takes guys to get their groove. Really, this is Ross's, basically his first year. He didn't do much as a rookie, didn't play much, got injured. So you got to give him a little bit of a pass. But at some point, whether it's Dalton, whether it's Driscoll, whoever, someone's got to be able to hit him in stride on the deep balls. He's got to be able to come down with more passes. He's still having problems dropping some of the easy passes, and that's a concern going forward. I do not know what's going to, I'm seeing more and more comments, and thank you for all the comments. Thank you for everybody joining us. Appreciate it. Appreciate all your support, by the way, throughout the season. I know it hasn't been a banner year for the Bengals, but that's from all of us at Cincy Jungle and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I just want to give you a thank you from all of us for all of the support, all of the page views, the clicks, the comments, the tuning into our podcast. Just want to side note that this, you guys have been awesome this year, even though the Bengals have not been that great. So just want to thank you all for that. I don't know exactly where the Bengals go from here, because there are a couple of, in terms of coaching and all that stuff, there are a couple of schools of thought, I guess, right? There's the, well, if Marvin stays, then you go Vance, Joseph, and Hugh Jackson potentially as your coordinators, and you kind of get this quote-unquote super team of assistants to help out. Sounds good on paper. We know that Marvin is at his most effective, much like Andy Dalton, with a great supporting cast. So that sounds like a decent plan if they can land both those guys. And obviously, Hugh's already in the building. Vance Joseph probably will be gettable. So we'll see. There are people that want to see it totally blown up, and I totally agree with that and totally see the reasoning with that. Get a new head coach and all of that. Unfortunately, it seems as if that happens, that will probably be, and granted, the Bengals weren't competitive this year. They were kind of, I guess, a little competitive last year. So this may be grasping at straws, but really, probably if they start over from scratch, we're looking at another 1 to 2 years before they're competitive again, because that would probably entail getting a new quarterback, new coach, new coaching staff. You'd probably keep some of the core guys, Tyler Boyd, AJ Green, Joe Mixon, obviously. You know, you still got to do some things on the offensive line, find some answers there. So hard to really see what is the best route, and it depends on what kind of mindset you have. Are you in this, hey, you know, we've got maybe one more year to get far with the Carlos Dunlaps, the Geno Atkins, the Mixons, the Boyds, the Greens, the Daltons? You can maybe get a year out of it and make a special year out of it. Or do you just say, you know what, it didn't work. We had a lot of talent. We came close a couple times. It didn't work. I don't know. So I see Marquise Cunningham saying Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator, talked about that a little earlier. That's a possibility. I think that's an interesting name if Todd Bowles is on their list. There's probably, like I said, there's probably going to be some interesting guys there that are out there that could be, you know, really helpful for this team. So Scott Fassett of Zimmer is fired. He is the only choice. You know, if they are going to keep with the familiarity, if they are going to keep with the, you know, a lot of different things, you know, where they may keep Marvin or they don't keep Marvin, but they want to keep some of the guys intact, Mike Zimmer makes a lot of sense. Mike Zimmer would be great as a defensive coordinator again for the Bengals. I don't know that he would be fired and then automatically go take a defensive coordinator gig with the Bengals right away. We'll see. I don't know, but I don't know. Gut feeling, do you think he's gone, from Ronnie Swango? From Marvin, I'm assuming that's what that question means, if by he. I was thinking about this today. My opinions on that change basically hourly. There are times where I'm like, no way. I thought I thought for sure if the Bengals won today against the Steelers, I thought that Marvin Lewis had saved his job. If they had played poorly and got blown out, I thought he was gone. Now they're right in the middle, and so I don't know. They played okay and pretty well with what they had, almost won. I don't know. I don't. I guess if you're asking me and holding my hand to the fire about it, I will say that the Bengals probably make a change, but it's probably a change to someone familiar, whether it's Vance Joseph, whether it's Mike Zimmer, whether it's Hugh Jackson, whoever it is. I guess I would say that the Bengals right now would probably make a small change, not a wholesale one, but I think the second most likely probability is that Marvin comes back to fulfill his last year of his contract. Hugh Jackson becomes the offensive coordinator. A guy like Vance Joseph, a guy like Mike Zimmer, potentially becomes the defensive coordinator. They try and make it work for one season, maybe build up a couple of other positions and go from there. Just a couple of side notes before we get out of here. Alex Redmond was replaced finally by Christian Westerman, and it was with mixed results. I'd say overall positive, but mixed results. Westerman had an egregious false start penalty at the end in the final drive of the game. But I will say that I thought he played well a lot of times. I really started to key in on him during some blocking scenarios. And I don't know. I think I saw like quite a few blocks from him that I liked, quite a few plays from him, quite a few productive plays that were given, you know, kind of behind him, all that stuff. So I liked what I saw out of him. I thought the linebacker group, and yes, we know the injuries, Vontaze Burfict and many others, Preston Brown, I thought the linebacker group was deplorable today. Nick Vigil, their best linebacker potentially that they even have on the roster, was a step or two behind a lot of different passing plays. He's a guy that they like as their athletic linebacker, quote-unquote, their coverage linebacker, quote-unquote, and he just was nowhere near plays today. Kind of a chase and tackle guy, so that entire position group needs to be overhauled. You know, wide receivers didn't give you much behind the, you know, granted there are a lot of backups, but did not give you much. So this team needs some retooling. It needs some retooling in a lot of different places, a lot of different positions, and we'll see. Dominic Mendez, is Driscoll the future of the Bengals? Absolutely not. Not as a starter, and to me, not as a backup. I mentioned that a little earlier, so I won't go into more detail, but I don't see Driscoll as a long-term guy with the Bengals at either capacity. So I don't know. The Bengals need to do a lot of things this offseason. They've got the draft. They'll obviously be, you know, keeping a close eye on that, and that's where they'll probably be making a lot of their moves. We'll see if it's going to be collecting draft picks or actually for once moving up and getting more higher impact players. They'll probably have in the top 10 pick range. I think that's still kind of yet to be set. If it has been said, I haven't looked at it. I kind of jumped on live here before because I wanted to get on right after the game here. But they're probably in that top 10 range, so they should get an immediate impact player if they don't stumble over their own feet again. And, you know, you look back at certain draft classes, and today, you know, Andre Smith is playing left tackle after Cordy Glenn left with an injury. And you sit here and you go, well, 2015, they drafted two tackles. And Cedric Oboihe and Jake Fisher, and both those guys weren't even playing today. Cedric Oboihe was a healthy scratch, and yet again, Jake Fisher's on IR. And that particular draft has set this team back to this three, along with other factors, but that particular draft has really set this team back for 3 years because of who they whiffed on, at what position, and who they let walk because of those draft picks. So that's a big deal. That's a big deal. We'll see what happens with the Bengals going forward. We'll see what happens at the head coaching spot, at the coordinator spot. There's going to be a lot of news over the next couple of weeks, guys. And keep it at cincyjungle.com. We'll also have our podcast, our weekly podcast, the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. You can get that on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that kind of stuff. So get it there. But we'll also be giving you news, opinions, analysis, all that good stuff on Cincy Jungle, as well as the breaking news with the coaching staff. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of that going on. So we'll see going forward. By the way, there's one question I want to address before I do get out of here. Ken Fetcher or Fecker says, what do you think? Maybe trade Gino and AJ for picks. Both are getting towards the end of their careers. Well, both also signed. Here's the deal with that, meaning Gino Atkins and AJ Green. I think that Gino Atkins and AJ Green will be in Cincinnati most definitely in 2019, especially if Marvin Lewis is there. He will keep them. He will want them there. You know, Gino Atkins, Pro Bowl year. AJ Green was having a Pro Bowl year before he gets hurt this year. So I don't see Father Time really totally catching up with those guys yet. I think they're in the Bengals in 2019. I think really that's for a coach in transition. If it's a new coach, most definitely if it's Marvin coming back. And I don't think what you net with them is going to give you what those guys currently give you. So I just. You know, those are kind of generational players. I don't think you trade them, and you made the mistake before with Andrew Whitworth when you thought he was at the end of his prime, and you know that blew up in your face. So I don't think that that's going to be in the cards. I think you hang on to them. There might be some other guys you let loose, maybe a Drake Kirkpatrick, maybe a Vontaze Burfict for salary cap reasons. But if you do that, that means you got to spend that money and you got to be proactive in free agency. So they will need to do that if they do free up salary cap space. But for now, I think guys like AJ, Gino, and Carlos Dunlap are going to retire as Bengals, especially if Marvin Lewis sticks around next year. They'll be in stripes. Keep it to CincyJungle.com. Thanks for all your support. Thanks for all your comments, your questions. I'm Anthony Cosenza, and we'll see you next time. It's been a fun season talking with you all. Maybe not a fun season for on-field products for the Bengals, but it's been a fun season. We're still going to get you all kinds of content, even though the off-season is technically upon us. So keep it to all of our channels. We appreciate all the support, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.